There's a story told about a little boy named Ben. Ben had problems coming into the world. Not his own fault. Ben, you see, was born to a mother without a father. And as he grew, others began to talk about Ben. And his classmates at school would call him by some very ugly and hurtful names. Ben, as he continued to go along in life, was so self-conscious, and when he went to town, he could hear the whispers of those who were around him trying to ascertain whose is he. And the more that Ben grew up, the more he despised being around people. When he was about 12 years old, there was a new preacher who came to their church. Ben would fit in good here because Ben liked to get out of the building before anybody could talk to him. Ben would try to beat the last amen when they said men. He was in the parking lot. One day the new preacher was saying the closing prayer, and as he was saying the closing prayer, he cut it short and Ben didn't get to escape on time. He got stuck in the crowd with everybody else. And as he was walking out, trying to be unnoticed, trying not to have anybody pick on him or say anything to him, he came to the preacher, and the preacher looked down at him and said, "Whose son are you?" And as Ben tells the story, he became self-conscious. He thought, even the preacher is going to put me down. Even the preacher is going to call me out in front of everybody. And the preacher continued on and he said, "Well, wait a minute." He said, "I know whose son you are. I can look and tell because you have certain characteristics. I can tell that you are a child of God." And that changed Ben's life. It changed his perspective. If people were to look at your life and my life today, whose son would we seem to be? Whose daughter would we seem to be? Who has the characteristics, or whose characteristics do we display? By the way, Ben Cooper grew up to become twice the governor of the state of Tennessee. I always take it as an honor if somebody says, "My son looks like me." Now, my son's 3 feet taller than I am. He's not nearly as fat as I am. His hair is not as gray as I am. But I take, he looks like me. He has certain characteristics of me. I don't know what they are, but I'm glad that they're there. But I want you to take this more serious when we ask the question, whose child are you? Whose characteristics do you display in the world? Look back at our reading in 1 John 3 and verse 10 that Arthur shared with us just a moment ago, and we'll use that as kind of a text as we begin our thoughts together this morning. "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." The New International Translation reads this way, and I like the particular translation here. For it says, "This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, and anyone who does not love his brother and sister." That's pretty distinct. We can look at you and tell if you're a child of God or if you're a child of the devil because of the characteristics that you display. I think you have to realize that there's a battle going on for who wants you in their family, who wants you to be their child. In Zechariah chapter 3, in the first couple of verses, the Bible says that he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing in his right hand to oppose him. Satan wants your soul. He wants your life. He wants your commitment. He wants you. But so does God. In Luke 22 and verse 31, Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, and he says to him, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat." Satan wants you. He wants to subdue you. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to put you through all manner of evil that you might spend eternity in hell with him. And then in verse 8 and 9 of 1 Peter 5, Peter reminds us what an adversary the devil is when he says, "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the whole world." Satan wants every one of us. Everyone who's assembled today, Satan wants to be your father. As a matter of fact, if the Bible be true, Satan's already won most of the world over. There are more people following his way than they are following the Lord's way. And so I want you to consider this in a couple of ways. Number one, let's think about being a child of the devil. As you think about that, I want you to think, how many times in your lifetime have you been around children and said something to the effect of, he's a little demon, she's a little demon, or she's an angel? I think the demons win. I've seen lots of little kids that take on those evil characteristics. I've seen them when they kick people and talk disrespectfully to people and pull and run away from their parents. And you look and you don't see the likeness of an obedient child to their parents. You see one that's in rebellion to that parent, it just as Satan would have them be. So we want to look and see what the Bible has to say about the devil as a father. In fact, we want to look and see if the Bible has any indication whether the devil is your father or not. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, but for some, the father of this world is the father that they serve. In John chapter 8, beginning in verse 42, Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. He starts out with the implication God's not your father because you don't love Jesus. We're looking at characteristics of the children of God, and they love God, they love Jesus. For I proceeded forth and came from God, and have come, nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. Now listen to verse 44, because it's pretty plain. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father are what you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. For he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own resources, for he is a lie and the father of it. If you look biblically, Jesus looked at people who were alive in his day. He said, you don't love Jesus. You don't love me. You're of your father, the devil. Jesus was a pretty direct preacher, by the way. He didn't say you might be, or you kind of fit in this, or it looks like you might follow this. He said, you are children of Satan himself. Again, I suspect as you've seen people run on playgrounds and in parks and in shopping malls, if anybody goes to one besides Amazon these days, that you've seen some children that seem a little out of control. You can probably go to the schoolhouse any day and find a few that are out of control too. Teachers have a tough job. I saw a posting the other day that was talking about the job of teachers, and it said guidance counselor and social worker, and it was in reference to this gun control stuff and security guard. I don't think that's what they call them, but protector. And there's a lot of things that get heaped on that. And if you don't know a school teacher, let me introduce this couple. At the end of the day, they're usually tired. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, who desire, and then the desires of your father is what you want to do. So if I'm looking at characteristics of one who is a child of the devil, who are doing devilish things? Who are doing sinful things? Who are the things that are rushing to evil rather than rushing to good? In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 37, again, we find Jesus answering, and he says, he who sows the good seed, this is explaining the parable of the tares, where the good seed is sown, and at night the evil servants come in and sow the tares, and they grow up together. And Jesus said, well, the bad and good are going to have to grow up together, and at the end they're going to have to be separated at judgment. So he's trying to explain that, and he says to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. You see, when you look at the Bible says there are people who are children of the devil. There are people who have those characteristics. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 8, when the sorcerer Elymas is confronted, the Bible says, then Saul, who is also called Philip, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he looked intently on him, and he said, O full of all that's deceit and fraud, you son of the devil. You enemy of all righteousness, you cease perverting the straight ways of God. When you look at these descriptions of those who are the sons of the devil, who are the sons of the evil one, there's descriptions there, and here he says, you enemy of all righteousness. That's what a person who falls after Satan or who is a child of the devil has to deal with. But let's just be a completely negative lesson. Let's talk about being a child of God. Doesn't do any good to talk about the bad if we don't talk about the best and the greatest and the answer. Sometimes I hear people say, well, that person is a child of God if anybody is. And what they're usually referencing is a godly lifestyle. They're usually referencing people who are biblically knowledgeable. They're not only in mind, but in action. People who are working the works of the one who sent us into this world. So when we look at the Bible, we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And God says to his people, I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. I will be a father to you. That's the position God wants. To be chosen. To be special. We're born into the family of God. We're adopted into the family of God. I remember the story of two children arguing one day. One was naturally born into the family and one was adopted. And they got into this argument and the naturally born child was going to be ugly to the other one and said, you're adopted anyway. And what do you say? And he said, I know they chose me. They got stuck with you. God chose me. The strange thing in spiritual adoption is it's not the parents who do the choosing, it's the children who choose the parents. We choose to serve God, we choose to take him as our father, we choose to serve Satan and take him as our father. The Bible is explicit on both counts. Matthew 6 and verse 8, Jesus said, your father knows the things that you have need before you ask. In this manner, before you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's a father. We approach him as father. We talk to him. I had my grandchildren come over yesterday, and they call me Papa. They always call me, except the youngest one now started every once in a while when she wants to be real cute, she started calling me Pops. I don't know why. Maybe I remember Soda Pop. I don't know. When you pray, do you truly pray to your Father who is in heaven? Do you recognize that relationship? As I was reading this past week, I read a story of a young lady who had had kind of a rough lifestyle and didn't have much self-esteem. And a part of her story was that every Sunday when she would come to worship Sunday school and worship, that she would stop at the door and ask her mother, can I have your locket to hold while I'm in Sunday school? And the mother, as mothers do, thought, oh, this is sweet. She wants to hold on and remember me while she's in Sunday school. And so this was the process for years. She would say, can I have your locket? And she would give her the locket and she'd hold on until she came back and got it and put it back on for church. And in her depression, she explained, the reason I asked for the locket is because I knew whether she left me or not, she would always come back for the locket because the locket was valuable to her. We are valuable to God. He's not coming back for the locket. He came back for us. He came back that we might have the hope of heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven. I wish I had time to talk about Luke chapter 15. It's a story you've heard so many times. It's a forgiving father. I think about this because I need forgiving so much. And I think others do too. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of the sons came to his father and said, give me that portion of mine of goods that falls to me. In other words, I want my part of the inheritance now. I ain't got time to wait for you to die. Just pay up. The Bible says he went and he wasted it in riotous living. Some translations say prodigal living. He wasted and he ended up in the pig pen, and he would have loved to have eaten the pig slop. And it was when he got that low that he looked at himself and he said, even the servants in my father's house are better off than I am. I'll rise and I'll go to my father and I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he goes home and the father's watching for him and the father sees him afar off and he runs out to him and he calls for the servants to bring his robe and his ring and put him into full restitution as a son. Have a great party for him. And so he makes that trip Verse 22 in Luke 15 says, the father said, but bring me the best robe and put it on him and a ring and on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. That's how God feels about us when we allow sin to take us away from him. My son who was dead is alive again. The sad part is the son who stayed couldn't accept God's forgiveness. And so I want to say, I am a child of God. We have to choose whose son we are. We have to reflect the characteristics of our Father in this life. We don't need to run, trying to run from society, try to run from our friends at school. We don't need to run out of the church building unless somebody asks us. When they stop us and see us and look at us, they ought to be able to say, as the preacher in the story that we began with looked at the little boy and he says, I can see his characteristics in your face. I know whose child you are. You're a child of God. The rest of that statement said, go forth and receive your inheritance. We are the children of God which will receive an inheritance. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 14 tells us, as many received him, to him gave the right to become the children of God. To those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God gives us the right to choose today who our Father is, to choose who we will serve and who we will reflect. 1 John chapter 3, the first three verses of that chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it's not yet revealed what we shall be, but when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope purifies himself just as he is pure. You know, you're born into the family or you're adopted into the family, and in Christ it's both ways. We are chosen and we are born again. John 3 and verse 3, Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about that spiritual birth where we put on Christ, where we wash away our sins, where we do away with our former life. And if we have served Satan as the Father, then he no longer has that position, but the Father, Jehovah, God Almighty, now reigns as my Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Who do you choose this morning? Do you choose to be a child of the devil? Do you choose to be a child of God? Only one leads to heaven. If you need to repent of sins, confess his name, and be baptized for have your sins washed away, you can do that this morning. You can be raised to walk as a brand new creature, sinless before God. And if you'll remain faithful, heaven can be your home. And even if you didn't remain faithful, you can come back, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?